It's the biggest hit New Zealand movie you've probably not heard of unless you're looking in the right direction. It's called Alien Addiction, and it's number one on the New Zealand iTunes chart, also the YouTube Movies chart, not just here, but in Australia too. It's writer-director Shay Stirling. Is he the new Peter Jackson? Simon Morris with his story.
Yet. Footage has emerged of the large fireball that lit up the sky at 3:30 today in the Waikato region.
Well, that's from around here, eh?
Why do you have these cans on the door?
Aliens. They're outside. I've seen them.
What do the aliens want?
They're here for a good time, man. They're just here to have fun.
What do you mean, like parties and...
So, what does it mean being number one on the iTunes and YouTube charts these days? Alien Addiction also went to number six in the States, not to mention picking up awards at several international film festivals. Clearly, the market for full-on, gross-out sci-fi comedy is voracious, and writer, director, editor, cameraman Shay Stirling is ready to fill it. Shay, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Your background is music videos, basically, isn't it?
Yes. So I've been doing that for quite a while, probably over 12 or 13 years or something.
Give us some of the people that you've been working with.
Well, most of the New Zealand artists, really. Anyone from Stan Walker and Brooke Fraser, Catch a Fire, you name it. Quite a few.
I see that you work with Sheila E. and Snoop Dogg. What was that?
Oh, now that was great. And now I've become sort of Sheila E.'s video director. Unfortunately, this year I couldn't make it over for the fourth video, which would have been.
Oh my goodness.
If you do know who Sheila E. is.
I absolutely love Sheila E. What was she like to work with?
She's just got so much energy. She's got more energy than the 20-year-olds that I work with in New Zealand. She's just got so much, like, she's just a beautiful gift of energy, and it's good energy. And then on top of that, you know, great talent, like on the drums. You know when you get chills when you watch something that's good? Yeah, I got chills when she played the drums.
Absolutely. No, she's a spectacularly great drummer. But while you were making all these videos, I'm guessing that the aim was always to make a movie, or was it?
Yeah, that's true. So, I always was passionate about film and wanted to make a film. And I did try once prior. I had a script ready and a talent. And that sort of fell through after a year. And it was quite disappointing. Actually, I was sort of like, oh, that's a year down the drain. So then, I just kept on with the music videos. And eventually I made Alien Addiction. And it took 5 years, pretty much. 3 years of production and 2 years to sort of get it out.
We'll talk about Alien Addiction in a minute, Shay. But first of all, what does it actually mean, number one on iTunes and number one on YouTube? What is that?
You know, when you release a movie digitally now, there's several ways to watch it. You can rent it for $7 and you get to watch it on your TV for a month. The other way is that you buy it and it's always in that little app, whether it be Google Play, iTunes, or the YouTube, and it's a few others, Academy On Demand. And then the other way you'd watch it is that later on, these movies will eventually move to a streaming platform like Netflix, if you're lucky. So it has a stage where if people are really wanting to watch something, they'll be able to buy it. They have a few charts on there, so I was aiming to do quite high on there, and it's mostly due to Jimmy Jackson, the lead actor. His whole life is being on social media, so he has a huge audience. You know, with Jimmy pushing the movie, he can click a button on his phone and 50,000 people watch whatever he's making.
That's amazing. I mean, just as an indication of what it actually means to be number one on iTunes, in the top six or seven, there was things like Call of the Wild, which is a big deal family movie at the beginning of the year, Love, Sarah, which was hugely popular among people's grandparents, and Jumanji, which was hugely popular with everybody. But you were number one.
Yeah. I mean, there are people that use the platform. You might want to get a kids' movie on there. Yeah, to be up there was really cool. I wasn't too surprised because people have always underestimated sort of Jimmy's reach. And I was like, look, I've taken him to the small towns and kids will see him and run out.
We'll talk about him in a minute. But when you decided to make this film, why did you decide to make the comedy sci-fi genre?
You know, like it sort of morphed into that. At first I wanted to do kind of a darker comedy where it was a bit more violence and criminal activity and aliens were coming down doing sort of dodgy things. But then I saw Jimmy and he was doing this sort of really kind of witty online humour and I thought, oh, what if he met the aliens? And then I thought, well, that's actually more interesting, and I like it better, you know, because I'm not really a violent person. You know, like, there's a lot of violence in movies, and it doesn't really ring a bell with me. I think I enjoy the Serb Connery was a much more interesting layout. So I went with that, and I wrote it knowing that I had Jimmy because I met him, and then I was like, okay. And since I was self-funding it, I had the opportunity to do whatever I want. So I didn't have to ask anybody, is this going to be all right? Or I had no one telling me what to do. So that's the beauty of the film, I think. It takes an acquired taste, but I'm pretty happy.
Was it purely coincidental that this is almost exactly the same genre that Peter Jackson used when he started? Because that comedy sci-fi thing launched his career. He suddenly was picked up all over the world, and I suspect the same thing is happening with you.
I was a fan of his early stuff. Yeah, bad taste. You know, I mean, it's not like a movie I sort of continually watch and like it's my top favourite movie or anything, but I did appreciate the way that he relentlessly made that movie. I think he got film commission to come in the end. And I actually talked with the film commission at the last stage of my film. They were quite helpful and they did offer, there was a grant that would have helped me. But I felt like it was, you know, so many years making this film and I felt like I'd swum across this ocean to get to the other side. And at the last minute, this lifeboat had come up, and the film commissioner said, oh, jump on board, we'll just take you to the last 100 metres.
No, I thought, cheating.
I thought, I may as well just go to the end, then I could at least say I did it myself, and then, you know, perhaps the next film I can apply for funding for that. So, but no, they're great, but no, Peter did something really cool there. Yeah, so maybe there was some sort of inspiration there with just the way he made his film.
Tell us the story of Alien Addiction.
Yeah, well, I try not to give too much away. I'm quite cryptic with it, but basically two aliens crash land in the middle of Waikato, and they befriend a local young buck, and they get up to all sorts of absurd behaviour.
They're here to party.
They are here to party. They're not your normal aliens. And, well, I can't tell you specifically what happens there, but it is a very twisted journey. I didn't want to make a movie that, you know, you can sort of feel the way it's going to go and, oh, that person's probably going to die and then that person's going to redeem this and da-da-da. I wanted it to just take turns because I had that advantage of not having to write a plot that I'm going to have to get 10 people on a committee to agree to. Everyone's making movies these days that are trying to get a big audience appreciation so that it's lacking a little bit of just direct ballsy art, you know?
Absolutely. It's a very New Zealand approach at the moment. There's so many projects currently around at the moment featuring backcountry stoners. I think of Toke and Low Down Dirty Criminals and Dead and even West Side, if you want to look at it.
Well, with the way it's going, we're probably going to legalise cannabis too, and then the whole buzz will be gone because it won't be illegal anymore. The hipsters and stuff will just be casually smoking it every day. And it all lost its kind of little edge or something. I don't know.
You mentioned the stars. Tom Sainsbury, who everybody knows because he's in everything. But Jimmy Jackson is a sort of an underground superstar. I mean, he's one of those guys who, as soon as I saw him, I said, oh, he's that guy. Tell me who Jimmy Jackson is and how he's become so big.
Right. Well, he works really, really hard. And that's what's built up his whole career. So he basically tried a few jobs when he was young. And nothing was quite working. He was just a jokester at work, you know. And then he started doing these little vines, which was it was like another app on the phone, and it would just record 15 seconds. So he could do these tiny little jokes. And they just sort of naturally just popped off, and they were getting shared a lot. And from there, he sort of realized, oh, okay, I'm sort of onto something here. And he just continued on. And it's like he works daily on them. It's not like a little hobby. You wouldn't make it with a hobby as well. You have to be quite relentless. So basically he's just been building up his audience with these, you know, original little gags that relate to kids and, you know, teenagers. Even though he's a bit older now, you know, I think he's in his late 20s. His audience is that kind of teen kid. And, kids just resonate with it, man. Like, when I took him to that school in Tokoroa, he walked into the school and they're all got their little phones and they're not watching TV when they get home. They're just watching Jimmy Jackson. And when I took them into the room, they all just turned around and went, because there was an assembly.
Oh my God.
I don't think there's probably, I could have taken an all black in there and they wouldn't care less. I might have taken Stan Walker in there and you'd probably get the similar reaction. Mm. But there was only about two or three people I could think that could have that kind of impact on these kids.
I mean, that's clearly how you got your New Zealand underground audience. But, I mean, you've been huge in various overseas festivals. I mean, they're very specific niche sci-fi festivals. But, I mean, they're still pretty legit. I mean, you're talking about the Sci-Fi London Festival, Other Worlds in Austin, Texas, Boston. And you picked up awards in Florence, of all places.
Yeah, yeah. That one, I was like, woohoo! You know, like, Italy. I've been to Florence. It's the most beautiful city.
The town that brought you Leonardo da Vinci has given you an award.
Yes, it's one of these things. It's like if you get the film, if you can handle the humour, you're going to really, really like it. And comedy is so subjective. Yeah, when I took it to Texas, I was like, you know, what kind of reaction am I going to get here? They're going to get these jokes. And I kid you not, the laughs were like clockwork, just like the ones over here. I can tell you where everyone's going to laugh. I know all the moments, so it worked just as well. And I had a few people coming out and shaking hands afterwards, and one lady was just gushing. She was just going, oh my God, I loved it. I can't wait to watch your next movies. And just an instant fan. I was like, wow, this is cool. This is really cool.
Director Shea Stirling talking about his iTunes movie sensation, Alien Addiction, with Simon Morris. If you want to see it, you can log into iTunes, YouTube or Academy On Demand and type in Alien Addiction to rent or buy. Text in to say, I've never paid for a movie on iTunes, but I think I might this week.